broadcasting worldwide on internet radio.
Refreshing takes on legal strategies.
Straightforward answers to difficult tax questions.
Independent ideas on building wealth. It's the Refresher Wealth Show with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen.
Get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.
Now, here's Mark and Matt.
Welcome, everybody, to the inaugural broadcast of 2019. And boy, we have got a topic for you that's really tailor-made for this broadcast this time of year. Now, my name is Mark Kohler, and I've got my amazing co-host, Matt Sorensen, in the house. Whoop, that's your cue.
Yeah, baby, I'm here. I'm present. I'm here.
Okay. All right. So now we all know we have verification that Matt is on the podcast. So welcome, everybody. If you're new to our podcast, hopefully you will just fall in love with these amazing topics of tax, legal, business, building wealth. But from a really a tax law perspective, we really feel like you're missing something if you're not bringing the numbers and the legality into your plans. Not that there's
a lot of missing something. We mean money.
Yeah, that's right.
Look, your money going to the IRS instead of yourself. That's the missing part.
Yeah. There's a lot of great business podcasts out there, but ours is that tax and legal twist that is like none other, and we keep it fun and interesting. At least we try to. So welcome for those returning listeners for 2019. We hope to stay on your podcast must listen list, and welcome. So Matt, tell them about our topic.
Yeah. Today we're talking about strategic planning, and we'll be doing some, you know, talking about New Year's resolutions too. I guess kind of that goes into it, but Mark and I are geeks. I should say we like to geek out on strategic planning.
We geek out on a lot of things. This is just say we're geeks. That's pretty fair statement.
We call this show the Geek Squad.
Tell us something you don't know.
They should sponsor us. We're like poster child geek squads.
That's true.
We will be talking about strategic planning, and we'll get more into that. But basically, it's about setting goals for yourself and for many of you listeners who are business owners, self-employed, making that strategic plan in your business. So a lot of that goes with making a vision and setting goals of where you want to be, and then a plan of attack on how to accomplish it. So big topic, but Mark and I do this. We've been doing it for years together. And we think it's a transformational thing. It's been a big part of our success. And it's actually a fun thing to do. It's one of the most fun things to do in business.
Yeah. And we've literally set a date 2 weeks from now to rendezvous and have our strategic planning session and set our numerical goals for the year. And we give each other assignments. And we're going to get into this more later in the show. But we've set that date, and we're going to create a little fun with it, which is something that's going to be one of the aspects of strategic planning for your business we want to create, is that board meeting and have a little fun. So we're going to go skiing, snow skiing. It's January. So we got to get Matt out of Arizona and let him experience what the rest of us around the country are. And that's called winter. Matt, can you spell that for us? You know what that's like? Or have you lived in Arizona too long?
Yeah. Hey, we have Flagstaff here, and I've been skiing twice already this year in Flagstaff.
Yeah.
And I went once with you.
How's that 12 inches of base? 12 inches of base? How is that?
I was on a lot of corduroy. Let's just say that. Some nice groomed corduroy runs. You know what?
They take snow machine. Yeah, like just scoop up squirt a little drink on
that.
They
had a 30-inch base. They had something, so.
Okay, fair enough. All right.
Dude, a bad day skiing is still a good day.
Yeah, Matt's skis are chewed up. They look like, you know, the bottom of your Teva shoes in the summer. They're just like chunked up because of all those rocks at Flagstaff. All right. Anyway, Flagstaff customer service is going to call us now. All right. Well, okay. We normally, as many of you know, get into a tax and legal tip. We also try to keep this jovial with a few, I should say side notes, or we get sidetracked. Digressions, whatever you want to call it. So, but that's all part of the experience. You know, sometimes we get these folks that are diehard podcasters and like, you know, I don't need the jokes, Mark. Just get to the content. You know, well, there's other people out there that are going to fall asleep and careen off the side of the road if we don't keep it real. So we are real business owners with real clients, with real lives. And so we're going to bring those stories into play.
It's a delicate balance. It's a delicate balance. And it's a dance, if you will. And we just try to make the right moves at the right time.
Yeah. Speaking of dance. Okay. Man, over the holidays, our family, I had one of my kids went to Puerto Rico for a little trip. And so they got rejuvenized on the Justin Bieber Despacito song. Despacito. Oh. Now it's pretty sexy. It's a pretty cool song.
Is it Justin Timberlake?
Yeah. Oh yeah. He just gets going all in Spanish. It's the language of love, my friend.
Oh yes, it is. It's a very romantic language.
Yeah. And so Despacito. So two words, Matt, Rosetta Stone right there.
Just okay.
Get your game on. Your wife will appreciate it.
All right. That's probably not going to make my list for 2019, but I appreciate the suggestion.
Yeah. I'm just trying to help out your love life. You know, I was singing Justin Bieber around the house. It worked for a little while and then it completely backfired. But you know, for many of you over the years that have known me, I joke about that. I've got teenage daughters and now 20 something daughters and another teenager in the house. And so it's, you know, I got to stay hip, man. I watch the news. I watch, you know,
BuzzFeed
critical shows.
That's what the kids watch, BuzzFeed. That's how they know.
Yeah. Okay, right, Matt,
let's get tax legal tip. Let's do it. I'm ready to legal tip.
Okay.
A legal tip that you can actually use.
A legal tip where you don't feel like you have to take a shower after.
All right. Now, this legal tip is, you might say, this sounds like a marketing ploy by Matt and Mark, but 2019, we're at the beginning of the year. This is a perfect time to start a new business. One of the number one tax strategies we always talk about is start a new business. You might have a day job somewhere doing something, but what if you could start a new business, change your life, do something you love, find a hobby you can turn into a business?
That's a New Year's resolution.
There's many reasons of why you'd want to do that. I think a lot of people this time of year make a resolution to start a business, make a little money on the side. I don't care if it's driving Uber, doing Elvis impersonations, which I went to a Christmas party and there's a guy literally in his 70s that's an Elvis impersonator. Just make a little money on the side, you know? Okay. A little 70s, side hustle. Really? Okay. It's a side hustle. But it's a great time to start a business. You made an entity for that business. You may not. You may just be a little sole proprietor, not need a company like an LLC or a corporation. But the reason I say it's a good time to set up an entity now is we're starting off the year fresh. From a tax reporting standpoint, you start off with a new company fresh. Also, maybe you got some rental properties or something you've had that you might want an entity for asset protection. We've got lots of shows on that. It's a good time. You're getting a full year of fees. A lot of states charge you fees on an annual basis. So you're getting a full year of the fees now by setting up in January. So it's just a good time. We set up a lot of companies in January. Happy to help. And keep in mind, when you set it up, at least with our office or any good business lawyer, they're going to give you a consultation. We'll include up to an hour of consultation when setting up the entity to go over a lot of the stuff we're going to talk about today, to make sure you've got a good tax plan associated with the entity you're setting up, to make sure it's set up in the right state, that it's organized, that you have a board of directors or advisors. We'll go over that stuff. So that's your tip today. 2019 might be the year of a new business for you.
Yeah. Now I'm going to provide a distinction here that I think is important. Matt blended the two terms together. So if I may say, my dear friend,
it's like a twist cone. When you get the chocolate and vanilla together.
Chocolate and vanilla. It really was, because the vanilla is starting a business. The chocolate would maybe be starting an entity. And they're two different scenarios.
LLC or corporation.
Exactly. There. When we say entity, LLC or corporation, getting formal, getting an EIN, building some corporate credit, getting some protection, all of those benefits that come with an entity. Having a business, some of you may have been operating a business for the last couple of years. It's been fledgling along and it's okay. You've tested out the market and this year you're ready to hit it. In fact, Matt, this morning I got a text from one of my daughters, newly married, and she said, Dad, I'm ready to form. This is serious. This is my daughter. Yeah. I love this. I was so excited. I love that I'm brainwashing my kids. No, this is all good. That she sent me a text and said, Dad, I'm ready to set up my formal entity. I need a tax ID number and wholesale license number. Do you know how to do that? Can you help me? I'm like, what planet are you on? Yes, that's what I do. So many of your kids are like, what do you do at work? Well, anyway, so yeah, that was my text from Allison this morning. She said, I need a new entity. Now she's already had a business.
Right. Yeah.
So now this is entity time. So for some of you out there, just setting up the business could be a great New Year's resolution to try to test that hobby, that money-making idea out. The entity is something that would maybe be a separate goal for many of you to finally get more formal and have that hour meeting with an attorney to really make the plan for the year.
Yeah. Yeah. Love it.
There's your twist cone.
There's your twist cone.
We're not.
Mark Kohler just put a little, what's when they dip it in the chocolate? What do they call that? The cone?
Dip cone.
Dairy cone. He just took my twist cone and put it and just dipped it in chocolate. Yeah.
We're not eating ice cream cones right now, Matt. This is most of the country is drinking hot chocolate, something that you've forgotten about living in Arizona. You're just licking your ice cream cones down there in 70 degree weather, enjoying.
Yeah.
Let's not go there. Okay. Now. All right. Should we move to the tax tip?
Let's do it.
All right. Tax tip.
A tax tip you can actually understand and won't put you to sleep.
A tax tip that could save you thousands.
Okay. So my tax tip today is an important one. Called the 1099. Now, some of you may be receiving 1099s for money you earned this last year as an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. And I don't care if they come in your business name or your personal name, you're going to run those through your business. That's frankly a whole other topic. But some of you are going to be getting 1099s. But here's the requirement. If you paid anyone over $600 last year, not as an employee, you may need to issue them a 1099. Now, you're not going to issue a 1099 to Home Depot or Staples or Best Buy. They're corporations. They're large. They don't need a 1099 from you. But any other subcontractor might need a 1099. And how are you going to know? Well, first, you're going to read my updated 2019 article coming out next week in our newsletter with all sorts of little information that's going to help you understand the best way to approach your 1099 strategy. Also, you want to, you're going to know this because you have people fill out what's called a W-9. When you hire anybody, you've got to get the W-9 from them so that you have their tax ID number, their address, and then you're going to issue a 1099 if they meet certain criteria. Now, these have to be out by January 31st. Now, Matt, forgive me while I share a quick example here. The 1099 thing can be ignored. And I had a realtor, this was about 2 years ago, just not get around to issuing about $20,000 worth of 1099s they were supposed to send out. And when the state found this out, this was about a year later, so this was, I was dealing with this in the last 9 months with this client, they got a nasty letter from the IRS and the state, and there was penalties of almost $30,000 because those penalties go by day, by amount, and then they just snowball. Seriously, people, if you're driving down the road freaking out about this, if you don't issue your 1099s, there's a penalty because the IRS wants these people that you paid to pay taxes on that. And they're going to say, oh, just pay me under the table. Well, you don't get a write-off if you just pay someone under the table. You got to issue them a 1099. And now you're driving down the road going, Mark, I don't have a W-9. I don't know what their address is. I don't know what their tax ID number is. Well, you better try and figure it out and issue a 1099 to the best place, number, address you can, because you don't want to have these penalties. Now, ultimately, we were able to get this client out of the penalties, and it was not, it was touch and go. They were very concerned, and it was ugly. So, folks, do not ignore this. You've got to have them out by the end of January. This is not something you can just print out on your computer. They have to be done in triplicate with a form that you have to order from the IRS, pick up the library, or go down to Staples or Office Depot and buy. Our accounting firm does these for clients for like a buck a form. and you know, like $30 setup and $2 or $3 per four. And it's not a buck. I think it's like $2 or $3 per tenant. It's very affordable. Hire your accountant to do it, but you've got to get them out the door with a corresponding 1098 that summarizes them. Ugh. I know some of you, this is like taking the medicine early in the morning. I mean, this is not good. Mary Poppins was out over the weekend and you know, this is, the medicine's going down with a spoonful of sugar here. We're trying to do our best, but
I miss the sugar there. The sugar is you get to expense it, I guess. If you, that's the problem, right? I mean, that's the big problem. Not just the penalties and fees, is the IRS could disallow the expenses for these payments. So that's obviously painful. Now, even us, we start getting lots of clients reaching out to us. Hey, we need your W-9. We need your W-9. Our receptionist can get that, you know, because that's smart. I love to always hear our clients asking for us because they're going to 1099 us, and that's okay. You can do that. 1099 us. We're big kids.
Yeah, in fact, one of the rules is you must 1099 your attorney for the money you paid them during the year. The IRS does not trust attorneys. I know that sounds odd. It's the most trustworthy people in the world. But the IRS does not trust attorneys. So even if a law firm is a corporation, they are not exempt from getting a 1099. So it's kind of a unique rule. So the IRS has kind of picked on us industry. So anyway, the article's coming out. If many of you do not get the newsletter, get to refreshyourwealth.com, sign up for the newsletter. It comes out every Tuesday. It's free. It's got tax tips, deadlines, little videos, great blog articles. Every week, a weekly message, many very inspiring. Please get over to the newsletter, refresh your wealth, and sign up for the newsletter. So,
all right. Well, we have good news. We have good news. It's a new year. It's 2019. Let's talk about setting resolutions and strategic planning for you and your business.
Okay. Now, Matt, I know you start out at a certain point when it comes, you just, I like your perspective. We chatted, many of you presume that we have a script because this show is so well articulated, but no, we do not. We go live.
Here's my script. One post-it note, seven words.
Because you're so smart, Matt. But before we got on this show, we actually chatted for a bit of, you know, what are the points you wanted to make? And Matt, I really loved yours where you just don't jump into this year. You don't hyper-focus and go, okay, what are my plans for this year? And start writing them down. Step back. Matt, tell us your tip. Because I love that first one right out of the bat.
Okay. Now, this is a big thing that I've geeked out on over the years. And Mark and I have too, is what is your vision big picture? Like, what is your vision on where you want your life to go? And we think everybody should do this. My wife did this working at Lululemon. And I like totally stole it. I was like blown away by this. And we've seen lots of other companies and people do this, but take a vision of where you see yourself, and you could be doing this just for yourself personally, or you could be doing this for your business. Doesn't matter. It's the same process. Where do you see yourself or your business in 10 years? Now work back from that. Like if you're like, well, I'm just starting out as my first year in business, within 10 years, I want to have $10 million in revenue. Okay. Well, and the reason 10 years is good is that's enough time for you to accomplish really big things. In 1 year, you can't accomplish really big things. It's rare that you're going to be able to accomplish a really big thing within 1 year. But it's a lot of these things year after year after year that in the end, you could have a business that has 10 million, 100 million, whatever in revenue. Or you can have the 10 properties. You know, you might be like, well, I want to have 10 rental properties. Okay. Well, that might be unrealistic in 1 year for many people. But we can do one a year. So let's think big picture first. What's your vision of where you want to be in 10 years? Now we work back. Where are you going to be in 5? Where are you going to be in 3? And where are you going to be in 1? And let's set the goals on how you get there first. So that's, I think, the point number one is just think big picture of where your vision is and where you want to be in 10 years.
And I love it. And I think that makes so much sense for many of you that are sitting down going, okay, where's my business going to be this year? And we're not here to change your life and help you lose weight and fix that damaged relationship. And we're here talking business, but they're so intertwined. They really are. And, you know, on a serious note, we joke around a lot, but I know that some of you listening today, the holidays were miserable. They were. I know that happens. I can't say every holiday season I've had in my life has been wonderful. Sometimes they just suck. There's family problems. There's dysfunction. The business isn't as profitable as you hoped. You could be on bread and butter and, you know, baked beans for Christmas. I mean, I know it's hard. I've had those hard years too. So this is a chance to say, okay, what do I want to see differently this year so that I'm in a better position next holiday season? And if you don't make a plan, it's very well not going to happen. You're going to get tossed around, pushed around with no direction or vision. And furthermore, if you don't look at that 10-year vision, you might set goals for this year and they don't play out 10 years from now. They don't make sense with where you really want to be in 10 years. And those are tough questions. So,
yeah. And I thought you made a good point too while we were talking about. And that's why I think let's start a big picture. Think of it as a 10-year process. But we want to talk about what can you do this year. And we want you to be, and this is, I'm stealing this from Mark, be realistic, but push yourself, right? And so now, like within 1 year, you want to be realistic of what you want to accomplish. 10 properties, if you're a real estate investor, might not be realistic. Mm-hmm. But maybe 2 or 3 is pushing yourself. You know, We don't want you to set a goal that's easy. I'll give you an example. I don't say this to try and sound cool in any way.
Okay. Fair enough. This is your disclaimer. You're not tooting your own horn.
This is my disclaimer. Okay. I was at the gym. I think this was New Year's Eve. I'm there with my wife. She's this fitness, you know, freak athlete. And I was like, I'm setting fitness goals for 2019. And my goals, I want to be able to do the Navy SEAL fitness test minus the swimming, but I want to do the running, the push-ups, the pull-ups, the sit-ups for a competitive score. And I want to be able to bench press 225. That's like the bench press weight at the NFL combine.
Okay.
And so I was like, so I just started doing the bench press first to see I don't even know what my max was. I thought I could do 200 pounds maybe. I've done 185. I did 225.
Wow. Congrats. I know.
But what I mean by that is you need to set a goal that's like if I set that goal and that was I met it in 1 day, that didn't push me at all. I didn't improve at all. So, so I had to readjust what my goals were going to be. And so think about that in your business and you want to stretch yourself and really push yourself while still being realistic.
I can't believe you used that example. That is so self-serving. You just were trying to find a way to talk about your 225. I can't believe it. I'm disgusted. Yeah.
How much
disgusted?
I'm not like a bench press guy, but you know, that's anyways. I don't know how nerdy that is.
Well, so funny. Okay, now, next on the list. One thing that, and you'll see this in some strategic planning blog articles of mine, I have a whole section in my 8 steps to start and grow your business. For many of you that have already purchased that little 8-step program, it's a workbook, 40, 50 videos. It's excellent. I'm getting great reviews and I appreciate those that are already diving into it. There's a whole chapter on strategic planning. That's how important it is. But one of the first things we talk about after you're pushing yourself, you're realistic, you've got your 10-year vision is create sections to the plan. Don't just hyper-focus on one area of your business. You may say, I want more sales. Okay, that's cool. That's a good goal. That's one of your goals as a business owner. But how's your customer service? How's your delivery? How's your production system? How's your personal training? How's your legal documentation? How's your tax plan? There's really many facets to a business. And so And everybody's business is different. And not everybody's going to have the same sections or facets that need to be focused on. Some of you already have certain things dialed in. Matt, I love your example of why I need to set realistic goals. So don't set a goal in one area of your business that's already doing well. You know, focus on the parts of your business that suck and say, okay, yeah, I got to fix this part. So set up sections to the business plan. And Matt and I will do that in our strategic plan. We'll say, okay, here's this department or this issue or this issue, this issue. Let's set goals. Mm-hmm. So we have 5 or 6 goals that are very different because there are different parts to your business.
Yeah.
And that's very important.
And I think that's such a good point is address the areas where you have problems or that are your weaknesses. I think a lot of people, you know, they avoid those situations. But those are the ones that, even if it might be something boring, like maybe it's a customer service issue in your business. But you're like, your marketing's rocking, you're selling a ton. Well, you're probably spending a lot of your time that you could otherwise be marketing and selling, dealing with all your customer service problems. Maybe figure out what the issue is. Do I need to change systems? Is it people? You know, more employees or less? What is that can help solve that? That's then going to free up more of my time and my staff and my employees and, you know, all the resources I may have in my company to do the things I like, whether, you know, if you're into marketing and sales. So I think that's a great point. Now so we've got the different sections that we've identified we're going to break this up to. Now, the next thing, though, I think, Mark, that's really important, this is step two, is creating a timeline.
In fact, Matt, let me interject this before you go down timeline. Yeah. We're already implying this, people, but I'm going to say it because we haven't said it yet. You got to write this down. This is something you're going to carry around with you everywhere. So when we say do a 10-year vision, write it freaking down. Do you know, right here at my desk, right across from my laptop and my camera and microphone, I've got my 10-year vision sitting right here in my folder. I've got my plan for 2018, and I'm rubbing my hands together to sit down with Matt and do my 2019. And I'm going to do some personal goal setting too. But the point is, I carry it around with me everywhere. It's written down. So your assignment this weekend, people, find an hour, go to Starbucks in the corner, go to a beach, go to a mountain, go to a park, sit down and literally put pen to paper. You can't just think about, here's my 10-year vision. No, write it down. And write these sections down, and because you got to have it intangibly in front of you, and we'll explain more why later. But even before you get to timeline, Matt, thanks for letting me interject. This is something you're going to carry around.
Yeah, and mine is in my bag that's with me when I travel. It's with me every day I come to the office. It comes home with me. Mm-hmm. I always have it with me because when I think of something, I write it in that book, you know, and it's my little Moleskine that's like very personal to me, and I think.
Did your voice crack?
Yeah,
that's very personal
to me.
For someone that just benched 225, as we were told, I was impressed your voice cracked.
As far as you know, it could have just been a good example. Okay. Should have gone. So, but I'm on the sensitive side too. You know,
you're a sensitive guy.
Yeah. Anyways, but I have it with me at all times, and I love the pen to paper because I don't like doing it on a computer. I have my laptop with me all the time. I'm sitting in front of my desk all day long. And so, but I like having a pen to paper because all the other distractions are gone. Whatever could come up on that screen or wherever I can get distracted on my emails or online or social media, whatever, that's gone.
Go old school.
Paper. Go old school. And it, because this is a creative process. You want to get creative. You want to be thinking big picture. You want to be thinking mechanics. And I really said, this should be fun. Most people that we've challenged to do this love the process. And so this is something that can be fun. So hopefully it's something you can look forward to.
Yeah, I love it. Okay. Now timeline.
Okay. So now we're identifying the areas where we're going to do it. We're making our plan in each of those areas of the things we need to do or that we want to accomplish. But now, and let's take the example. And I know sales could be the easiest thing, you know. I want to have $100,000 in sales by the end of the year or $100,000 in sales every month or whatever your thing is. Say what it is. Now create a timeline for how you're going to get there. A year is still a long time. What are you doing in January? What are you doing in February? What are you doing every 3 months? Where should you be in 6? And what are your action items you need to do to hit those timelines so that at the end of the year, you can be on task you can be meeting your goal that you set for that year. Yeah. So break it up, set goals, and think of the tasks to get there.
Yeah, and I think this oftentimes becomes a reality check because you're going to adjust maybe your vision. Because as you start to say, okay, I'm going to do this in 12 months. Okay, then I'm going to do this in the first 6 months and then the first 3. Whoa, I got a day job. There's no way I can get all this done in 2 months or 1 week or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. Guys, here's an important thing. Don't get discouraged going, oh, because here's what happens. You start to write this down and you look at your time requirements, your family issues, your everything going on in your life. And you're like, there's no way I'm going to get here. No, people, it's not a race. It's a quest. And your quest is very different than someone else's. There's no race here. You're not trying to, I'm not trying to beat Matt Sorensen there. I'm trying to get myself where I want to be. And if I try to compare myself against Matt, I'm going to lose. I gotta keep my perspective to what my quest is. And it's not a race. Take your time. Baby steps is cool. And so adjust the timeline during this process to make it realistic with your vision as well. Pushing yourself, mind you, but not killing yourself.
Yeah. And that's why the 10-year vision is so critical, is because once you set realistic goals that are still pushing yourself and you break it up into these times and all these tasks you're going to do, you can accomplish a lot in a year. And how much further are you going to be next year when you do the same thing? And then over 10 years, when you look back, man, you can really have a transformative change in your life and in your business. Yeah. It's awesome. So,
and okay. Now at this point, okay. Now I, on my blog article, and I've written several blog articles, and there's chapter again in my tax and legal playbook and my business. Anyway, I've written about this so much, and I've created different steps, but the updated version of this will be in the newsletter next week. And Matt, I'm going to add a step right here because it's usually on the side, but I'm going to put it in a pragmatic step at this point. And that is, at this point, you share it.
Yeah. Now,
this is where the legal structure and tax structure starts to interplay, because I'm going to say, I'm going to take this plan and I'm going to have a board meeting, and I'm going to pull out my LLC and my corporations. I'm going to create a board of directors, a board of advisors. This is something we do with all the LLCs and corporations we set up. And some of you are going, I didn't do that on LegalZoom. That's why you're going to call us. You're going to do your annual meeting. You're going to get your year structure in place with an attorney for an hour, set up the entity you need. We're going to build your directors, your board of advisors. Then you're going to share your plan. And oh my gosh, Matt, it comes alive, right? I mean, this is, I don't know where to stop on this.
Yeah. And this is the benefit Mark and I have of being partners and both loving to geek out on this stuff, is that we get to sit together and share it with each other. And you know, as partners in the business, that's, and so many things we do together. So, but it's really nice to have a sounding board. Your spouse, you know, if you have one, should be part of that process. I like getting my kids involved over the holidays. I was giving my kids updates on what I'm doing, where I plan to go in 2019, explaining to them the new business and directed IRA and how that's different than being a lawyer. And I think that process is, there's a lot of reasons why to do that, right? We want to get good feedback. I want to get like, and I need to know also the people that are involved in my life, like your spouse and family, that they know what you're up to, that they know you're going to be sacrificing. So when they see you're gone, or they, you know what I mean? And you talk about your family life. I mean, that's, you know, your friends or whoever who you're kind of skipping out on hanging out with them as much as you used to. They know, oh, he's up to doing this. He, you know, she's got this new business she started on the side, you know, whatever it may be in your life. And then they know what's going on, but also there's some accountability to it. Now I want to show those people I can do this. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
I love it, Matt. You hit so much there. I'm going to go back to the first point, though, of the people involved. I know many of you listening don't have a spouse. Some of you have a spouse that is completely unsupportive. Some of you feel very lonely. It's hard being an entrepreneur. You can feel like you're on your own, out on a sailboat in the ocean and trying to figure this out. That's why getting a board of advisors is so important. If you feel lonely, if you feel like you can't turn to family because they're not supportive, this is your chance to choose 3 to 5 people, is what we say, of mentors, lack of a better word, 3 to 5 people, male or female, young or old, business owners or not, that'll build you up. They'll be candid. They'll tell you what they think, but they won't tear you down. And those are I know some of you listening, you just have tingles come up your back because you know who I'm talking about. Those people in your life where you just treasure those conversations. That's who you go to and say, I'll buy you steak dinner. Can I take you out and share my plan? No one's going to say no. If they're that type of person and they love you sincerely, they are going to want to hear your plan.
Mm-hmm. Love it.
Yeah. Man. Okay. And then accountability. So it's so funny. I talk about this. Many people go, Mark, I hate sharing my plan because then when I go to the grocery store, if I see someone, I have to hide in the produce aisle because I know what they're going to do. They're going to ask me, three words. How's it going? You're like, I don't want to tell him. You know, I'm not, you know, you know. And so when you share this thing and you're and someone knows it, oh, now when you talk to them, they're going to go, how's it going? And you're like, oh. And so that helps us. It pushes us because we need a cheerleader, but also someone that's a referee, and they're going to say, man, I'm calling a foul or I'm calling a penalty. You got to get engaged again, people. I'm here to help you. What's your hang up?
Okay. We've shared the plan.
It's number five. Revisit.
We're on five. Okay. Yeah.
So one is vision. Two
okay,
is
that's right. We just did one is vision. Okay.
Yeah, one is vision. Two is sections. Three is timeline. Four is share it. Number five, revisit. Yeah. And Matt, that goes to your bag. Tell them why you carry it around with you. I mean,
yeah, this is a. I like to, you're on your quest. I like that, Mark. I was thinking of the game Zelda. You know, if I don't remember that the quest, whatever that was. But your quest changes. And sometimes you need to readdress your goals. We want to check in on how you're doing, but I also, sometimes you could be in March and you could be like, hey, I was working on this problem in my business and I had a goal and it's solved. I might have more time to now focus on other things, or that thing's just gone. That was a business idea that you thought was going to be bigger than it was. And that thing just fizzled out. You're not seeing it. And so you're like, I'm just going to not put my resources into that. Mm-hmm. So this, your strategic plan changes. It's not set in stone.
Yeah.
I don't want you to give up because it's maybe too hard necessarily, but you want to, don't just keep focusing on something to finish it if it's not going to help your business or make you better the next day.
Matt, I love what you said. You said the failure word or, you know, businesses that succeed, they don't go down the failure path because they change, they modify. I hate that statistic where, oh, 3 out of 5 businesses, or 50% of businesses die in the first 3 years or 5 years or that. There's all these variations of the stupid statistic. They don't talk about how many businesses changed their business model. They modified their plan. It's okay. You're not a failure to change the plan.
Can I give you an amazing example of that?
Go for it. Does this involve you lifting weights 225? Or no. I just want to prepare myself. Am I going to feel...
No, I knew I shouldn't have said that.
No,
I
was dude, I'm like,
just when it came to my mind, I thought this is just, I'm not going to hear the end of this.
I love the story.
Okay.
Even if it was in your dreams, I love it.
Okay. Talking about changing your plan. Instagram. How many of you use the app Instagram? Do you know how Instagram started? What the app was for?
No.
It was to check in at places. It was a check-in app. So you would go to a place and you would say, hey, I'm at Joe's, Bar and Grill. And all your friends know that you're at Joe's Bar and Grill. And that's how it was for, I think, over a year. And the guys doing it were just like, it just wasn't taking off. They had this venture capital money. Everybody was geeked out on tech. And then they added a photo feature that when you checked in somewhere, you could take a photo to say, hey, I'm at Joe's Bar and Grill. And you post a picture of you along with it saying you're there. What happened is everybody started learning, oh my gosh, I love the photo sharing. And the photo sharing took off. It's like, nobody's checking in. We're just going to turn it into a photo sharing app. And that's how you got Instagram.
Wow. I didn't know that.
There you go.
Learn something new every day.
More you know.
Yeah. And you know, it really is interesting how businesses evolve. You know, another word to throw into the mix, because your business will find out that it's better at one thing than you expected. And that's okay. This is where sometimes you have, see, this is a fine line too, Matt. We haven't talked about this. Where you have to be emotional about your business, but not too emotional. So you have to be emotional enough to love it, to be passionate, to get up in the morning and freaking run with it and love it and talk about it and share it. But at the same token, you can't be so emotional that you can't change the plan as needed. You can't be so married to it that you drive it into the ground because you're unwilling to change.
Yeah.
That was deep.
That was good.
I gotta be emotional, but not too emotional. I'm gonna write that down.
I feel like I need to say amen after some of these things. Jeez.
Yeah, these are the weekly tips. They kind of evolve. Like I'll say something smart and I'll go, where did that come from? Write it down. And then I'll end up on a newsletter like 3 weeks from now, people. So be emotional, but not too emotional. I love it.
Yes. And you're right. It is, you have to have that passion and that love and that drive, and people need to feel it in your business. People that may work for you or that you work with or your customers, or, I mean, they need to feel that. But then it can, you can get too emotional and too fixed on that. I love that. That's so good.
Okay. Now, number five was revisit. Now the story of what Matt, I'll say it another way, is what he was getting at is you revisit the plan, you make changes, you revisit it, you carry it with you everywhere you go, and it's okay. And you're going to modify it, and you're going to talk about it, and you're going to meet with your board, not just once a year. You're going to go out every 3 months and have a quarterly meeting, even if it's over Skype. You want to be revisiting your plan on a regular, every flight. A lot of times that's when I revisit my plan. It's kind of emotional for me. Like I'll get in a plane and I'll be like at 30,000 feet, you know, and the, you know, you can get up from your seat. Mm-hmm. That's when I pull out my plan because I feel like I'm above it all. I feel like I can look down at the big picture.
Right. And you can't get distracted either. There's very little you can do unless you turn on the Wi-Fi.
Yeah. Okay. Now, number six, right. Go ahead, Matt, lay it out.
Okay. All right. Number six, manage by statistics. Now you need to find a way to quantify.
The key part.
Yeah, this is the key part. You need to find a way to quantify how you're meeting these goals. Even in setting them, you need to kind of have some statistics. So in your business, you need to start gathering data if you're not already. Yeah. And for some of you, that might be a little easier than others. Like if you're a service business, for example, that might be a little more tricky. If you're selling product or your subscriptions or something, you have a lot of data already just immediately right there. Maybe you're a rental or a real estate investor. You kind of have data, but it might be different than a company selling product or services necessarily.
Yeah.
So, but start gathering the data in your business of obviously the sales, how you're making contacts from a marketing standpoint, how many prospective people do you have? Dollars and cents, turnaround time on people. How long does it take you to perform a service when you get paid for it? You know, customer experience from it. How satisfied are your customers or not? You know, referrals, how often you get referred or not. I mean, there's so many things you can just track here. I mean, even in our office, we track every phone call.
Yeah.
You know, we know how many people call their office. How many people visited your website? Do you have a website in your business? Are you tracking the analytics on your website? Yeah. In your marketing section, this could be a big section. How many visits do I get to my website? How am I going to, I get 100 visits on my website a month. Let's say you're a brand new business owner and you're like, I want to get 10,000. Okay. How am I going to get to 10,000? Maybe my action item is I'm going to start a blog. I'm going to start asking other businesses that I might, we work together to link me to their website. You know, I might get my, start a social media campaign that links back to my website. You know, there are a lot of these things you need the data to know first what to set the goal on and then how to track that so you know how you're improving.
Exactly. So if I want to lift 225, I got to get in the gym. I got to throw some plates on there and see where the numbers are.
That's right. That's right.
Just a hypothetical. Some of you may have never heard of that example before, but
yeah, it's just hypothetical.
Yeah. But no, and some of you may not realize this. I know you listen to the show and you're like, man, Mark and Matt are so smart. But let me tell you, we steal all this.
We're just the only two people with microphones.
we just have a microphone. No, we steal this because at Harvard in the business school, there's a class called Management by Statistics. This is a big deal. And this is what board of directors around the country do in Fortune 1000, Fortune 10,000 companies. They get around a table and look at the numbers. That's what they do. And you should adopt some of these large corporate procedures to help you succeed as well. And one of them is track everything, find a numeric analytic for everything in your business. Now, some of you that hate numbers, this drives you crazy, but it'll be very telling. Just do it for a month. If you're a realtor, now I'm going to pick on realtors because realtors tend to be very salesy, very they have strong personalities. They're very good, on their feet. Marketing is second nature to them. And realtors are great at that. Well, I've got engineers or dentists over on another spectrum. So it's funny how we've learned over the years there's characteristics of certain types of business owners. And that's cool. It doesn't mean you're good or bad. Well, my realtors tend to not want to do their books or analyze numbers or do the analytics. I'll just sell myself out of this problem. I'll just get out and make more sales or whatever. And that's cool. But when you track your numbers, how many phone calls did I make? How many doors did I knock? How many mailers did I send out? How many people call me? How many listings did I get? What was my average sale? Find 10 numbers that will help you do better at your job and track them just for a month. And yeah. All of a sudden you'll go, oh my gosh, I thought all my sales were coming from referrals. I didn't realize that they were coming from this or this person versus that person. Anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Anything else on managed by statistics? I'm trying to think what else I wanted to say on that topic.
Set goals by numbers.
Yeah. Set goals by numbers. And even customer satisfaction, you know, there's a lot of survey tools you can use for that. You can even see, this is interesting. I don't know if you saw the Snowbird ski resort. Mark and I went skiing there, but they had a campaign, the 1-star campaign. A little side note here. They took all their 1-star reviews and they reviewed all their 1-star reviews that they had on their site from Google and Yelp. And what they realized is a lot of their 1-star reviews were things that they're actually proud of. Like, this mountain's too hard. You've got to be an expert skier to ski this mountain. Or like, people complain, there's too much powder. I couldn't get down the mountain. You know,
you're like, idiot.
1-star. And they turned it into an advertising campaign, which was funny. But I think
That's not a bad idea. That's a great idea.
That was a great marketing campaign. It was so good. It's still on their website right now, if you go to their website. But
rated 1-star for too much power.
Yeah, and it got a ton of press, actually, the 1-star marketing campaign, how they turned all their 1-star reviews into a marketing campaign. But I think what is important is the thing is, they were listening to their customers. They cared what people were posting and saying about them. And see what people say about you, what they think about you. If you have those resources to get into that data. And if you don't, start finding a way, even if it's not as pure as, like, you know, a Google or Yelp review, or a survey that you send out. I mean, there's SurveyMonkey and all these really inexpensive ways to do it. But just, even if it's just getting some feedback from people after you've done a product or service for them and just seeing how that's going. Maybe you're a rental property investor and you got tenants there. Get their feedback. I mean, I have rental properties and I'm trying to think of how I can be more better at setting better goals for there, because I want those properties to be better, and your tenants can give you a lot of insight on how you're doing and how your properties are doing. So just think of your customers and try and get their input in setting your goals.
Yeah, I love it. Because sometimes what we think is important for our goals may not be what's important to our customers. You know, we're like, I got to fix this. No.
They don't care.
Or they don't want you to fix it, you know. And I like SurveyMonkey, a little side tip for anybody out there. SurveyMonkey has a version that's free. They also have paid versions with more data collection. But you can go on SurveyMonkey, create a 10-question survey, true, false, multiple choice, rating system. It's very simple to use. And then you can send a link out to all the people that you would want to participate in the survey. And then the results come right back. And the level one, it's free. And that feedback can be absolutely critical. Some of you may go, Mark, send me a survey and I'll tell you what's really up. Fair enough. We could be doing more. We've sent out surveys before.
We have done it before. Right?
I haven't done a general survey, so some of you may have not seen one, but we do in certain circumstances. But anyway, okay. Well, we need to wrap this up. This has been, I have taken a lot of notes. I have a whole, you know, Matt can do it all on a post-it. I got a full page here on my yellow pad of killer content. It's good. I can share it with Matt if you want.
Okay. All right. You got a full page. I got a post-it, you know, whatever.
That's whatever it takes. Thanks everybody. This is good. So I just love it.
Yeah. Thanks so much for being with us. And of course, please get to refreshyourwealth.com. Please get to refreshyourwealth.com to sign up for our newsletter, get updates on new shows, and get updates on the ones you may have missed that are recorded and of course available on iTunes, Stitcher.
Should I take us out with Justin Bieber and Despacito?
Oh yeah, let's get a little bit of that.
There we go. Now, probably we'll get into some sort of, you know, royalty free music problem. So
yeah, I don't want the Biebs. I don't want the Biebs pissed at us.
I love the Biebs. He'd be on our side. I bet you when he found out, you know, what
he was. Yeah. Okay.
He'd come on the show.
Okay. All right. Maybe. Well, thanks, guys, for staying in here. If you're still listening, we will be back next week. I think we're doing open forum next week, right?
Yeah, open forum. Sending your questions.
Sending your questions. Matt, M-A-T, Mark, M-A-R-K at kqslawyers.com. And we'll be answering them live on the air next week. See you then.
Thanks for listening to another hour of refreshing strategies to better live your American dream.
Don't forget to get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.